Hi, everybody. My name is Carl Darden, and I'd like to welcome and thank all of you for joining us today here on Navy Sports Central. I am your host, and this is the official podcast of the Navy Sports Nation, where we take a deeper dive into Navy sports. In this episode, we're going to take a look at the past year in Navy sports, and I'm going to give you what I think were the top 10 moments in this record-breaking season. Now, keep in mind, this is a subjective list. It's up to you to decide whether I get it right or if I'm totally out to lunch, so please stick around. We'll be right back after this short break with our countdown. Okay, it is great to have you with us, everyone. Whether you are a regular listener or checking us out for the first time, thanks for making us part of your day. And by the way, I hope all the dads had a nice Father's Day weekend. Although my wife was joking with me the other day that the moms typically have the whole weekend set aside for them. And meanwhile, the dads might get a few hours on Sunday afternoon, and chances are they're the ones still working the grill. But anyway, since the sports season is over, there are no real updates to report. So let's go ahead and get right into this. Now, as most of you know, this was a pretty incredible year for Navy sports. And over the past several weeks, I've been reviewing some of the more memorable moments in an effort to put together a top 10 list. And after a few revisions, I have it ready to go. And like I said earlier, this is somewhat subjective, but for each entry, I'm going to give you my reasons for why it made the list. So here we go. At number 10, we have Navy women's rugby wins the national championship. This past December, the Navy women's rugby team faced off against Davenport University in the College Rugby Association of America's Division I national championship game. The Mids were actually making their second trip back to the finals, but the Panthers weren't going to be a pushover. In fact, they broke out on top early, scoring on a try from about 60 meters out. But Navy came back, led by senior co-captain Sarah Skinner. She scored on a quick tap try to tie the score at 5, 10 minutes into the game. The Mids scored again to go up 10-5, but Davenport didn't back down. They ended up punching in another try, and this time they got the two-point conversion to go up 12-10. Then just before the half ended, Anna Olszewski scored again for Navy to make the score 15-12. Now, in the second half, the Mids totally controlled the pace. Defensively, they shut down the Panthers completely, while Skinner came through with another try. That made the score 20-12, which turned out to be the final. So, Navy ended up closing the deal after coming up just short in 2019. Skinner was named the game's MVP, which was a fitting conclusion to an outstanding rugby career. By the way, I had a chance to interview Sarah a couple weeks after that big win, and we had a great conversation. In fact, the week before Thanksgiving, she was chosen as a Rhodes Scholar, making her the 54th midshipman to earn that distinction. She was commissioned a month ago and will begin her studies at Oxford in September. Now, at the time that the Mids won this national championship, rugby was still a club sport, but for several years there's been a campaign to elevate both men's and women's rugby to varsity status. This big win turned out to be the final piece of the puzzle. The years of sustained excellence by both programs, combined with huge donor support, cleared the way for rugby to achieve that varsity status beginning this fall. So that's why this accomplishment by the women's team made my top 10. They won a national championship, and that kind of exposure helped seal the deal with respect to both men's and women's rugby becoming varsity sports. Okay, we are off and running, so let's go ahead and continue with our countdown. At number 9, we have Navy men's and women's swimming and diving continuing their dominance. There's no question that the men's and women's swimming and diving teams are among the elite in the Eastern region, and it's been that way for quite a long time. This year, they both extended their winning streaks over Army, and they swept the Patriot League championships, and the men also won the ECAC championship. In the Army Star Meet, the women rolled to a huge win. I mean, they just blew the Black Knights out of the water. The final score was 230-70. There was never any doubt at all about that outcome. But the men, on the other hand, had a tougher time with the Black Knights. In fact, I almost had a stroke when I saw how close the score was. It turned out to be 158-142. But the bottom line is they got the job done. And for the women, it was their 33rd straight win over the Black Knights, while the men's streak is now at 31. These rank as the two longest winning streaks ever in the history of the Army-Navy rivalry. Then, 2 months later, both teams smoked the competition at the Patriot League Championships. The women took the title for the 10th straight time, and it was the 20th overall for them. The men won an unprecedented 18th consecutive title. So think about that for a minute. That's when the men's team first entered the Patriot League. So every year that they've been in the league, they've won the title. It's tough to argue with that kind of sustained excellence, and that's why these two teams are at number 9 on the list. Next, at number 8, we have Navy men's tennis winning the Patriot League championship. Now, the men's tennis team made this list because they're one of two teams to beat Army twice during the season. The women's volleyball team was the other, But the difference was the tennis team won their star match 4-1, and then they turned around and beat the Black Knights again by the same score just 8 days later to take the Patriot League title. And by the way, it was their fourth straight one. The win capped off a terrific season for men's tennis. They were 32-11 overall, and they went undefeated in Patriot League play with an 8-0 record. The 32 wins established a new record for the program. Coach Chris Carner was named the Patriot League Coach of the Year, while Derek Thomas and Sasha Panyan were named the Doubles Team of the Year. Both earned Patriot League honors and went on to win their doubles match when they played North Carolina in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So another terrific year for men's tennis. Congratulations again to Coach Garner and the rest of the team. All right, moving on to number 7, we have Navy men's soccer shuts out Army to take the star. Both the men's and women's soccer teams beat Army this season. The men's win stood out because of how they won. The defense just completely shut down the Black Knights. They were led by first-team All-Patriot League defender Matt Nasita and goalkeeper Tyler Fawning. I can't remember how many shots on goal the Army actually took, but the mids turned back every single one of them. On offense, the story begins and ends with Jacob Williams. The senior from Millersville, Maryland, recorded the first hat trick in 9 years for the mids, and it couldn't have come on a bigger stage for him. The Navy offense just kept consistent pressure on Army's defense. They had a tough time matching Williams' speed, and on his first goal, he beat the defender up the left side and scored from just outside the corner of the goalie's box to put the mids up 1-0. Williams' second goal came on a breakaway where he split two defenders, and he drilled a laser from about 20 yards out into the top left corner for a 2-0 lead. And then finally, his last goal came off of a nice assist from Jason Oyama. He delivered the ball to Williams with a header off a long kick from the left sideline by Nasita. Williams gathered the ball in and moved quickly to his right to get some space. Then he took his shot to the lower left corner that found the back of the net past the goalie and another defender who was trying to slide to keep it from going in. So it was a great performance by the entire Navy men's soccer team. And for Williams, he's going to have some memories that are going to last him a lifetime. Okay, let's continue with our top 10. At number 6, we have Jennifer Coleman's 3-point buzzer beater shocking top-seeded Holy Cross in the Patriot League quarterfinals. Now, I got to tell you that this top 10 list would not be complete without me recognizing Jennifer Coleman's accomplishments as a member of the Navy women's basketball team. She had a fantastic year, averaging a double-double in points and rebounds, and she was the undisputed leader of that team. The mids were still rebuilding in 2021 under second-year coach Tim Taylor, and things were looking pretty good, though. They had an experienced backcourt with Coleman and Colby Green. But things took an unexpected turn when Green left the team in November, and that left Coleman as a primary scoring threat. The mids did beat Army 61-60, but that wasn't the star game. They ended up losing that one the following month. They also hit a rough stretch of road at the end of the season, losing 6 of their final 7 games. But they got past Colgate in the play-in game of the Patriot League tournament, and that set up a showdown with Holy Cross in the quarterfinals. They did lose a close one to the Crusaders about 3 weeks earlier by a score of 63-57, but this game turned out to be a real defensive battle. At halftime, Holy Cross had a 19-17 lead. The mids did go ahead briefly in the third quarter, but with just over 3 minutes to go, they were down by 8. Then Mimi Schrader hit a 3-pointer to cut the lead to 5, but Holy Cross was still up by 6 points with 63 seconds to go. And I mention that specifically because what happened next, you just had to see to believe. So the score is 47-41 Holy Cross. And on the next trip down the court, coming up on just about a minute, Jennifer Coleman launches this 3 from the left wing, and that goes down to cut the lead to 3. The Crusaders came up empty on their next possession, and the mids did get the ball back, but there wasn't a whole lot of time left. They kept moving the ball, and Coleman winds up taking this shot from well behind the arc, almost straight on, but just slightly to the right, and that goes down to tie the score at 47. Holy Cross called timeout to set up a play, and they did a pretty good job executing it. They didn't score, but they did draw the foul, and they converted both free throws to go up by 2. Navy called timeout to advance the ball into the front court, but the only problem was they only had 1 second left. The play coach Taylor drew up, called for Coleman to start at about the right elbow and come straight to the ball before cutting to the corner. And Coleman made a great V cut to get some separation. She took the inbounds pass, and with 1 second left, you don't have time to really do anything except turn and shoot. And that's what she did. Coleman grabbed the ball, turned and shot in the same motion. Somehow she got it off before the buzzer sounded, and it banked high off the glass and straight through the basket. I couldn't believe it. And they just completely mobbed her. So the mids got that 50-49 win over top-seeded Holy Cross, and that was an incredible finish to Coleman's career. They ended up losing in the semifinals, But that particular play was just unbelievable. It made the highlights of every local sports show, and it was also one of ESPN's top 10 plays of the day. Just to kind of recap things, Coleman hit 3 3-pointers in the last 63 seconds to finish with 27 points and 13 rebounds for the game. She will definitely go down as one of the best basketball players ever to come to Annapolis. And remember, the 2021 season was pretty much wrecked by the pandemic, so who knows what kind of career numbers she would have put up had the Mids played a full schedule. It was so much fun watching Jennifer Coleman play. She was incredibly consistent, and she'll definitely be missed next year. All right, I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be back with numbers 5 through 1 in our countdown of the best Navy sports moments of the past season. All right, welcome back to Navy Sports Central. Carl Darden here with you. And now let's get into the second half of our countdown. So here we go with our next entry. At number 5, we have Navy Wrestling takes a star match for the second straight year over Army. This was one match that I was looking forward to from the time the wrestling season got underway. And it had been a while since the Mids had won a star meet against Army at home. Last year, they'd beaten the Black Knights up at West Point to end that 4-match losing streak. But there were no fans at that particular meet because of the pandemic. All they had there was coaches and the team members. So it just didn't quite have the same feel. I knew that when the Black Knights came to town in February, that the Navy wrestlers would have a ton of support at Alumni Hall. And I was right. I watched the match on ESPN+, but it didn't start out that great for the Mids. I mean, after the first two matches, they were already down 6-0. And by the time Navy sophomore Andrew Cerniglia came to the mat to take on Army senior Marcus Hartman, the Mids had a little bit of a hole to dig themselves out of. Now, for those of you who didn't catch the episode where I talked about this match, let me just give you a quick backstory. Last year against Army, Coach Kerry Colott had Cerniglia wrestle in the final match of the evening, and that was going to be the one that determined who was going to take home the star. Now, Marcus Hartman was supposed to be his opponent at 157 pounds, but the junior, who is one of the Black Knights' best wrestlers, was not available because of a shoulder injury. That being the case, Cerniglia just absolutely overwhelmed his replacement, and he won by a score of 14-4. Now, all I heard from the Army guys calling the match was that the Black Knights would have taken home the star for a fifth straight year if Hartman had gone against Cerniglia, because, you know, supposedly he was the most experienced, and at the time, Cerniglia was only a freshman. So, you know, fast forward to this year, when the two squared off with Navy down 6-0, it was up to Cerniglia to get the Mids on the board. And for the first, I would say, period and a half, it was fairly close. But then Cerniglia took control of the match in the second period, and he went on to win by a score of 8-4. So his 3 points got the Mids on the board, and now they trailed 6-3. They won the next match to tie it up, but then Army won the fifth match of the evening to go up 9-6 again. After that, though, the Mids just rolled them. They ended up winning the last 5 matches, and they cruised to a 22-9 victory. So that made it 2 in a row for Coach Colott over Army, and he is just off to a fantastic start in his second year as Navy's wrestling coach. And by the way, Andrew Cerniglia faced Hartman one more time at the EIWA Championships the following month, and he beat him again. So I think he's effectively put that issue to bed with regard to how he stacked up against one of Army's best wrestlers. Okay, let's keep going. At number 4, we have the Navy Lightweight Rowing Fours with Coxon win the IRA National Championship. So, as most of you know, I've become a big rowing fan over the last couple of years, and this year I learned quite a bit after watching the IRA championships. I think the biggest lesson was finding out that the results from the lightweight fours race is a separate event and does not figure into the team scoring. But the winners are recognized as national champions. So the fours team of Jonathan Greenberg, David Jackson, Matt Fox, Lucas Schatz, and the coxswain Kyle Young took control early in the race. And they finished nearly 2.5 seconds ahead of second place Harvard. So it was a very, very satisfying win for the team. And they took home some nice hardware while earning their, I think it was their third straight national title. I mean, they didn't have the event in 2020, but they won in 2019, last year, and also this year. Now, if this race result had counted towards the team scoring, the Mids would have repeated as national champions. Their 2V8 crew also won their race, while the 1V8 boat just got edged out by Columbia. And in what I think is the strangest tiebreaker ever, the team title ended up going to Columbia. So here's what happened. The Tigers were 3 points behind after finishing third in the 2V8 race. Their 1V8 boat beat the Mids by less than 2 seconds, so But according to the points, both teams wound up being tied with 36 points. So there's no more events. And you would think that the tiebreaker would be the lowest aggregate finish between the 2V8 and 1V8 races. And when you look at those numbers, Navy finished first and second in those races, while the Tigers came in third and first. So the mids aggregate score was 3 compared to 4 for Columbia. But the IRAs don't use that as a tiebreaker. And they also don't go with the lowest combined time differential in the two races. Navy would have won using that metric also. So you know what the IRA uses as a tiebreaker? They actually used the result of the 1V8 race. So yeah, they basically end up counting that race twice if there's a tie, which makes no sense to me at all. Maybe the IRA ends up addressing that issue at some point. But for now, the mids lightweight fours are the undisputed national IRA champions, which is more than what I can say for Columbia. All right, it's time to move on. I'm getting a little bit irate thinking about that, and this is supposed to be fun. So let's keep going with number 3 on our list. Okay, taking the number 3 spot in our countdown is Navy men's lacrosse upsets Army on the road to take the star. This was one incredibly exciting game. When I think about last year, Army came to Annapolis firing on all cylinders, and by the way, the mids were decided underdogs last year as well, but they played one of their best and most complete games of the season to upset the Black Knights 9-4. So you know that the Army team was looking for some payback when Navy coach Joe Amplo took his guys up to West Point for this year's game. And from the very beginning, it was one of streaks. The mids broke out on top early 1-0, but then Army scored twice in a row to take the lead before the mids tied it up again at 2. Then the Black Knights seemed to find their rhythm, and they controlled most of the rest of the first half and end up going into halftime leading 6-3. When both teams came back out to start the third quarter, the mids clearly had figured something out offensively because they scored 3 straight goals to tie the score at 6. Army held them off again, putting up 2 more to go up 8-6, but the mids answered with 4 straight to take a 10-8 lead, and it looked like they had all the momentum at this point. But the Black Knights weren't through. They ended up scoring 3 more goals over the next 4 minutes to go up 11-10, and now it's getting pretty late, so the mids are running out of time. But fortunately, Nick Cole scored with just under 2 minutes left to tie it. Army did have a couple chances late, but they couldn't convert, and the game went into overtime. So now, I guess it was a little bit more than 1 minute in, Army was called for a push from behind with possession, and that resulted in their first penalty of the day. It was basically a 1 minute penalty. So into the game comes Navy extra man specialist Jack Sweeney. This guy is a senior, and it was his first time he had seen the field because, again, it was a pretty clean contest, and that was Army's first penalty. At least that's the first penalty they called anyway. The mids went into their extra man set and worked the ball around the perimeter. Sweeney was just kind of floating around just behind the Army defense, that first layer of Army defense, probably about, I'm going to say, about 10 to 12 yards in front of the goal. Then he spotted a gap between two defenders about 8 yards directly in front, and Max Hewitt found him with a perfect pass, and Sweeney did the rest. He just turned and fired almost in one motion and took a low shot that I'm pretty sure the Army goalie never saw coming, and it was in the back of the net before he even realized it. So that was the game. I mean, the mids just went absolutely crazy. The final score was 12-11 in overtime. And again, it was the second straight year they'd upset the Black Knights. This one had to be especially tough for Army because their team was a little bit better than the one they had last year, while the mids just didn't have quite the same experience on the defensive side of the ball as last season. But they did just enough for the team to come out on top. So again, congratulations to Coach Joe Amplo and the Navy men's lacrosse team on this huge win and really, really terrific season. Looking forward to seeing how the mids do next spring. They got a very young team, so I'm really excited to see what they can do in 2023. All right, we are down to our last two entries in our countdown, so let's go ahead and take a quick breather before getting to them. I'm Carl Darden, and you're listening to Navy Sports Central. Welcome back to our countdown of the top 10 best moments in the Navy sports season. We have just a couple more entries to go, so let's see what comes next. Coming in at the number 2 position, we have Navy football knocks off Army 17-13 in the Meadowlands to take their second star in 3 years. Okay, I did do a whole episode on this game back in December, but real quickly, Army was favored in this game. I thought the mids had a decent chance of winning just based on how they'd played the previous 2 weeks. They lost a tough one to East Carolina on a late field goal, but then came back to beat Temple 38-14. You could tell that Navy quarterback Ty Levitai was getting more and more comfortable running the option, and it really showed against the Owls. He was much more consistent making the right reads, and it really showed in the mids offensive performance in those last couple of games of the season. But it was the defense clearly that put the stamp on this game. They did spot Army an early touchdown when quarterback Christian Anderson broke off a 56-yard TD run on the fourth play of the game, but that was the last time they saw the end zone for the rest of the day. Navy defensive coordinator Brian Newberry confused the Army offense with all kinds of different schemes. They limited the Black Knights to 57 total yards in the second half while holding them scoreless. Meanwhile, Levitai ran for 62 very tough yards and scored a couple of touchdowns that were set up by two really big plays. Both were reverses that actually almost went for a loss, but in each case, Jay Umbarger and Chance Warren made a big play when it counted, and they ripped off huge gains. And of course, we all know about the fake punt that shouldn't have been. That's when Diego Fago took the snap, and to tell you the truth, I still don't know how he caught that ball. I mean, it came at him like a rocket. But he was able to get the 4 yards for the first down and extend the drive, and that resulted in the field goal that put the mids up 17-13. From there, the defense just slammed the door, and that was basically it. Now, keep in mind that the mids had the third toughest schedule in the country and one of their youngest teams ever on both sides of the ball. So for Coach Niumatalolo to close out the year with his 10th win over Army had to feel pretty good. Okay, we are finally down to our number one top moment in Navy sports. And I know that most of you were probably thinking that the football game would come in at the top spot. And that would have been the case if it weren't for what the entire Navy athletic program accomplished this year. So here we go. Coming in at number one in our countdown of the top 10 moments of the Navy sports season, we have Navy Athletics dominates Army in the Star Series, winning by a score of 20-4. Now, it's not so much that the mids won the Star Series. That's been a pretty regular occurrence lately. But it was the way that they won it. They got off to a great start with a thrilling win over Army in men's golf. And then the mids proceeded to win 12 in a row, which gave them a total of 13 wins by February 12th. That number clinched the series since there are only 24 sports where the star was up for grabs. One of the big keys to the mids' success was them being able to win contests where Army actually led in the series. The Black Knights led in volleyball, rifle, gymnastics, and women's tennis, and Navy was able to take the star in those last three sports, so that was a huge advantage. And now that they'd won it for the eighth straight time, the question became how many more wins could they rack up in 2022? They pulled down four more wins courtesy of the men's and women's indoor and outdoor track teams, and we already mentioned the wins in lacrosse and men's and women's tennis. So the final count was 20-4, and the four teams that didn't win a star this year still ended up beating Army another time during the season. And what that means is that this year, the mids were able to beat Army in every single sport, and that's never happened before, at least not in modern history anyway. These kinds of results are awesome from a recruiting standpoint. The Navy Athletics social media team did a great job of highlighting every team's accomplishments during the season, and I've got to believe that all the coaches on the recruiting trail are really talking up what Navy Athletics accomplished this year. Yeah, I certainly can't blame them, and it's a great way to attract new recruits. Okay, that does it for our countdown. I'm very curious to hear what you guys think. Is there anything that should have made the list? You can get back to me on the Navy Sports Nation group Facebook page, or you can also reach me on Twitter at Navy Sports Nation. We'll be right back to wrap things up. All right, we are now in our home stretch, so let's go ahead and get to our question of the day. Here's the one from our last episode, and if you'll recall, it read, "For all of you competitive and recreational runners out there, what's been your most favorite venue where you've run a 10K, half marathon, or marathon?" And I listed Boston, New York, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. as the choices, but I also mentioned that you could add your own if it wasn't up there. And we did have five more added to the list. They were the Waxahachie 10 miler, and I had to look this up actually. Waxahachie is a suburb of Dallas. The Honolulu Marathon got a vote, as did the Honolulu 10 miler. My classmates Lowell Crow and Jerry Peters added those two races. And then we had the San Francisco Beta Breakers run. I don't know if that was a half marathon, a marathon, or a 10K. It might be all three. I'm not sure. But that was added by Joe Cauto. And Joe, hopefully I'm pronouncing that last name correctly. If I'm not, I apologize. Next, we had the Chocolate Chip Cookie 50K trail run in Spokane, Washington. That was added by my old roommate, Bob Richardson. And I was never much of an ultra guy, but if you're going to dangle chocolate chip cookies in front of me, that could tempt me quite a bit. So the top vote getter was Washington, D.C., where they run the Marine Corps Marathon and the 10K. 50% of you went with that choice. Next was Boston with 15%, followed by the Honolulu Marathon with 10%. Now, I was a little surprised that New York didn't pick up any votes. I've never run that one. I heard the course was pretty interesting, but I'm not sure how well I'd do on those bridges. Now, personally, I loved running in Washington, D.C. I ran 3 Marine Corps marathons between 2006 and 2008, and I also ran a couple of 10Ks, the last one being in 2016. But it's really great running by the monuments, and the crowd support is absolutely awesome. Okay, that pretty much does it for the question of the day, and since this is the last show of the season, there won't be a question of the day for this episode, but I do want to give you a quick heads up on how the rest of the summer is going to be shaping up for me. I'm going to take about a month off to recharge the batteries and start lining up some guests for when I start things off for next season. I'm also researching an article for another blog post that I will be looking to publish before the end of July. Right now, I'm targeting early August for the next podcast episode. In the meantime, you guys can use about the next 5 or 6 weeks to get caught up on some episodes that you haven't heard before. And I'll go ahead and post the links to the relevant ones that I mentioned in today's episode in the show notes. So thanks to all of you for your support, and I'm looking forward to getting back with you to kick off the 2022-23 sports season. That's going to do it for this edition of Navy Sports Central. Thank you all so much for joining us. Now, if you like what you've heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts, and remember to spread the word to all the other Navy fans out there. And just a quick reminder, the views expressed on Navy Sports Central are my own and do not reflect those of the U.S. Naval Academy or Navy Athletics. By the way, the music used in Navy Sports Central comes to you courtesy of Audio Jungle. This is a great site for purchasing the rights to use music from thousands of artists around the world, and those we feature in the podcast will be credited in our show notes. Talk to you soon, everybody. Until next time, this is Carl Darden. Go Navy, beat Army.